one that ever said that under God part squeezed together.
So. Commas, who needs them? All right, can we have a roll call? Excuse me, roll call.
Director O'Hill.
Here.
Director O'Hilsky. Director Storm.
Present.
Vice President Wright.
Here.
President Baltimore.
Here.
Thank you.
With that, District Council, can we have a report out of closed session?
Yes, President Baltimore, members of the board, staff, and audience, the board did go into closed session at 6 p.m. tonight under two separate categories. First, in regards to existing litigation pursuant to Government Code Section 549.56.9(b)(1). We discussed the groundwater adjudication and the bankruptcy. Specifically, in regards to the bankruptcy, they were advised that Judge Riblett signed an order dismissing the bankruptcy. The bankruptcy will tend to be open for another 2 years to take care of creditors' claims, but the bankruptcy itself is over. On the ISJ, they heard a report from legal counsel but took no reportable action. Under personnel, they did do a performance evaluation regarding the general manager. They gave comments to complete the written part of the evaluation, and it will be completed at the next meeting. The evaluation of the district legal counsel did not take place today. The board also conferenced with labor negotiators, that being Kathy Keebly, the general manager, and myself. They gave direction, but took no reportable action. And that concludes my comments.
Thank you. All right. The next item on the agenda is presentations. I think there actually is a presentation, but it's going to be given with the agenda item. So just in case anybody was looking at that going, hey. All right. So with that, I'd like to take public comment for items not on the agenda. And before we start with that, though, I just want to remind ourselves of how we as a community have set up public comment. And it helps me by following this to help get the meeting done in the proper amount of time. And so one of the things we've asked for is for people to line up or to sit in the first two seats up there. Again, because I can gauge it to see how many people are coming up as opposed to guessing each time. So I'm going to ask that we continue to do that. And then the other thing that we have in our bylaws is that each speaker say their name and their place of residence. And again, that helps people looking in, and it's just informational, and those are in our bylaws. And so with that, again, you can either stand in the back near the equipment or somewhere near close, so I have an idea of that there's another speaker coming. And then again, name and place of residence. So with that, let's begin the public comments for items not on the agenda. For speaker.
Thank you, Mr. President. Directors, my name is Paul Malacond. I'm a resident of Los Osos, and I wanted to let you know, as I'm sure you do know, that tomorrow night, Friday night, at the Trinity United Methodist Church at Pine and LOBR, the Grassroots Democrats will be hosting a two-hour debate for the two candidates for supervisor. Very nice to have it here in the community. We did it 4 years ago, and please all come and participate. We will have presentations by the candidates for supervisor, and then we will have an open question and answer period. Thank you very much.
And just one last time,
yes,
the time and place.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
That was my question, too. Yeah.
Well, if I don't tell you, you won't. 6:30, and we will finish at 8:30.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And that's located at the corner of Pine and Los Osos Valley Road. Trying to drum up support for you, Paul.
All right, next speaker. Thank you.
Good evening, I'm Julie Tacker, and I wanted to invite the public to come to this Tuesday's Board of Supervisors meeting after 1:30 to participate in the appeal of the McDonald's project. The Planning Commission approved the project without the drive-through. Staff is recommending that the board uphold the Planning Commission's decision. LOCAC voted to uphold John Hold. Our general plan is now moving forward. This is the opportunity in which our community can weigh in to what we want as a vision for our community. And as of that 2004 vision, when we had a plan approved by the Board of Supervisors, it was for a pedestrian-friendly, walkable community, which a drive-through fast food restaurant is inconsistent with. So I invite the public to not only participate in this particular item on Tuesday, but to look forward to the community plan that will be coming out in draft form in the next 6 months or so, and as it proceeds through its planning process, the approvals at the Planning Commission, Board of Supervisors, and ultimately the Coastal Commission, the vision of Los Osos needs to be had, and all the community needs to participate in it. And if you want any more information, again, the www.nomcdonaldslososos.org or the Facebook page, No McLososos.
Thank you. Do I see a next speaker?
Good evening, Lindy Owen, and I wanted to talk about a couple things. One, the community cleanup is this coming week, which, if AGP is working, I would hopefully the Ms. Kivley will give us an update of what happened. We haven't had any TV for weeks that I know of. And anyway, the community cleanup is this. You can put out, I think it's up to 14 bundles, and the garbage people will pick it up. You do it on your 12. I'm sorry. And anyway, it's the usual annual cleanup that we have. I still am in mourning over the fact that we lost $180,000 of revenue, which could be the kicker that puts us in the going out of business situation. And that wasn't what a bankruptcy was supposed to be. But the county now runs our waste franchise as far as if it's been transferred already. Another one was I wanted to talk about the $15 million lawsuit from one of the contractors. ARB did the, one half of town. It's a $26.2 million contract that they had, and they're suing for over $15 million. It's a signal that the project is not going well, and there's going to be more expenses than were ever imagined or promised by Mr. Gibson and Mr. Ogren from the county. It's still a pity that we didn't really have the right things. I keep doing the history again and just wanting to tear my hair out that we could have had a sewer for probably about $80 million. It would have been installed, operating for 5 years now. Instead, due to the incompetence of the county, we're looking at getting sued. And I hope that $15 million lands on the countywide taxpayers, because it's not our fault that Mr. Gibson and Mr. Ogren ran this thing the way they did. And lastly, I wanted to speak about there will be a Merle Cliff and Gibson debate this coming Friday, tomorrow. And, of course, people on TV probably won't get it, but I urge people to go attend anything in the future that shows up and really pay attention. My personal feeling is Mr. Gibson has lost his integrity completely, and at this point we need to look at some fresh new blood. And looking over Mr. Cliff, I think he's probably capable of the job. So please attend a debate if you can for the June election. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Al Barrow. I have an announcement for the Los Osos Flow. Los Osos Flow means Friends for Locally Owned Water, and it's a group of activists that are trying to take back our water supply at Golden State, asking them out. and letting the CSD or the county run that purveyor. So the announcement is on May 6th in this meeting room at 6:30, we will have two guest speakers, one from Felton, who have already taken over their private water and it's now run publicly for a more affordable price, so they have local control, and Ojai Flow. Ojai is south in Ventura, and they have been working on this project with Casitas Water Company, which is a public water company. And Casitas decided is www.lososflow.net, and you can get information on there about procedures. There's linked to the other communities' websites with as much background and details as we could gather. And I would like to announce that we're happy to tell you that we formed a steering committee this Monday. And we're honored to have retired fire chief Matt Jenkins. He attended with his neighbor, who's here tonight, and a number of other people. And we were going to make their decisions based on the community values. So we think we're moving in the right direction, and we hope eventually that you all will support our movement too. Thank you.
Thank you.
Richard Margetson. The debate tomorrow, because this meeting's playing live and it won't probably rebroadcast, but actually is at Trinity Methodist in the corner of Los Sosa Valley Road and Pine. Debate starts at 6:30 to 8:30, and the doors open at 6. Trinity Methodist, corner of Pine and Los Sosa Valley Road. I'm looking at the agenda, and I looked through the packet, unless I missed it, but it was my understanding there was supposed to be an agenda item tonight, whatever you were going to call it, whatever that discussion at the end of your last meeting was about IT performance or IT update or whatever, basically boiling down to where are we with the overbilling in the water department, and has the underbilling little technical glitch in the software been corrected for those accounts? Again, I don't see it on the agenda, so I hope it gets addressed more than just a cursory pass over. It's been months now. It was dealing with a billing cycle from the end of last year, and we just entered April. And other than a little announcement in the paper, I don't know that anything else has been done. I'll leave my other comments for later.
All right, thank you. Seeing no other speakers, I'm going to close public comment and bring it back to the board. So with that, excuse me, administrative and committee reports. The first report is the fire department report.
Good evening, Mr. President, members of the board, members of the public. I appreciate the opportunity to once again stand before you with the chief's report. Prior to starting, I'd like to point out that there was a request made last week by Director Storm to produce the campfire brochure in Spanish. We have done that. You have a copy in front of each of you. There's one at the back as well, or several at the back as well, and they're placed throughout the community. I'd like to follow up with one of the statements I made last go-around regarding chipping. We all understand that there's a drought. You're a water purveyor. You understand it as well. But a couple things to think about. Diablo Canyon's meteorological station should have 17.45 inches of rain at this point, and right now it's got 5.62. San Luis Obispo is supposed to have 22.84 inches of rain right now, and they have 8.25. So as your wildland fire protector, we've got to reinforce the hazard abatement, which is coming up, and chipping, which is coming up. Obviously, we got a lot of rain the last little bit, but it was a lot of rain in a very short period. So we have to be prepared for chipping events. We've gone out, we've secured grants to do 3 to 5 days of chipping in late May. But the community has to be prepared for that. They have to go out and cut their brush, trim up their trees, do it in a prudent, safe, environmental fashion, but also protect their property. For more information, you're certainly welcome to stop by the station, or one of my engines will come out. Call the station, make an appointment. It's 528-1053. We'll be happy to help you. Flyers will be going door. My firefighters will be going door to door through the Bayview Heights area, the Highland area, the Cabrillo area, to advertise this as well in the coming weeks. So I just want to keep. It takes a long time and a lot of effort to become defensible for a fire. I want to start early. Next week on April 9th, the Fireman's Fund will be showing up at the fire station to do a quick little press release and for the $10,000 grant that they actually provided several months ago. And so I strongly support that. We've got a lot of good stuff on it. Some members of the public, the board, did quite a bit of training in the month of February, including the last round of the continued professional training as highlighted here in item 7. And then we were able to conduct a cert training we've been talking about for quite a while. There will be a cert training in May in Morro Bay, and there will be a cert training here in Los Sosos in June, as I understand it. I don't have the dates in front of me right now, but if you're interested in cert community emergency response training, certainly call the fire station once again at 528-1053. We'd be happy to get you hooked up. That concludes my report. Is there any questions that I can answer for you?
Any questions from the board?
Okay,
thank you very much.
Muchas gracias. Muchas gracias. Completo en español.
If the board and the public would excuse me, but I went into reports without giving the board a chance to make any comments about public comment for items not on the agenda. Are there any thing the board want to say to those comments? I just want to reemphasize that the community plan is very important to our community. And so please participate in that as it goes forward in the future. And also the supervisor's debate, Trinity Methodist Church, 6:30 tomorrow night. Corner of Los Osos Valley Road and Pine. With that, we'll continue on with the second administrative report, Utilities Department.
Good evening, President Baltimore, Vice President Wright, board, staff, and public. My name is Margaret Faulkner, and I'm here to report on the operations of the Utilities Department for February 2014. Production was 13.6 million gallons, and it represents a decrease in production from last year by approximately 9%. 43% of the service area was billed for approximately 11.9 million gallons of consumption, which generated a revenue of $111,475. And this is for the period January 10th through March 10th of 2014. Now, this represents a 7% decrease in consumption and a 16% increase in revenue when compared to last year at this time. Production by well site is listed on the table on the first page, and the crews worked on the valve exercise program, assisted the contractor with the planned shutdown, and repaired a turbidimeter up at the South Bay well site in addition to their regularly scheduled duties. Water conservation items are available in our lobby, and we want to encourage our customers to come in between 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. to pick up fixtures. And staff is going to start attending the local farmers market. We'll do it on a monthly basis and provide water conservation materials. As far as the implementation of the billing software, it was successful, and I have a few comments on the implementation process. Staff is happy with this new billing software, and the implementation of the new software involves numerous processes. The implementation method that the CSD chose is common and within standard procedures for new software implementation. So common to all software implementations are anticipated hurdles and unanticipated, of course. Examples being incompatible databases, when, i.e. the transfer of the historical use, and then also hardware and software communications. For the extended billing cycle in December 2013, comparing consumption numbers from December 2012 with December 2013, there was a 36% increase. I invite you to look at your tables that are in your packet in the Utilities Department, and you can see all of the numbers there. Comparing the revenues from December 2012 with December 2013, you have to consider that there was a 12% increase in rate in July. So in order to compare apples to apples, there's a 29% increase in revenue. So considering the severity of the drought, the 36% increase in usage makes sense. Considering the increase of water usage of 36% and comparing to the increase of revenue by 29%, the idea that a major overbilling occurred during implementation does not hold water, and that's pun intended. For the total cycle billing, December plus February for the same 57% of the district, comparing the combined consumption, 33.3 million gallons was consumed in 2012 and 39.3 million gallons was consumed in 2013. This is an increase of 18% in consumption. So comparing the combined revenues for December and February, you get $307,000, $395,000 for 2012. That's including that 12%. And then that versus $343,233 in 2013. That's equal to 11.6 increase. So considering the combined consumption increase of 18% and the corresponding revenue increases of 11.6%, the implementation is a success. To date, 7 of a possible 1,550 affected customers have discussed their billing during the implementation process. So I consider that another success. And so my summary is that the staff is pleased with this implementation of the software, and the software is calculating according to our rate structure.
Can we quiet down in the back? If we can hear you up here, then I'm sure your neighbors can hear you. So please. Thank you.
Leonard, could you repeat the question? Because I couldn't hear what you said.
I was just asking.
Not Mike was not, but because there was talking in the back of the room. I didn't hear what you said.
I was just asking about the data, that the percentages and things, if there was a summary that we could look at.
Well, that's what I wrote down. I wrote down there's in the extended billing period, that 80-day period, there was 36% increase in water usage. And that the billings increased in that period of 29%. Okay, so 36 to 29. So there was more water used than billing. That's what I wrote down, 36 to 29. The total, if you take a two-cycle, not just the one extended period, but you take the extended period and then the short billing cycle, so you allow this to go through a full cycle, there is an increased water usage of 18% and an increased billing of 11.6. Meaning that when you take the whole range, you put your extended billing with your short billing, the ratios, the percentages, are in order. And again, you said there were 7 people who called up about this out of 1,550. And so the process which they took, I mean, it's in order for how they, for the procedure.
Yeah. Thanks for reiterating that. Yeah. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Please quiet down in the back. Right. Any other questions?
Yep.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, next report, General Manager's report.
Good evening, Mr. President and members of the board. I have presented, I have provided a detailed outline of those tasks and functions that occurred during the prior period. It is within your board packet. I appreciate the opportunity to give this information to you, and should you have comments, I'd be more than willing to take them. Thank you very much.
Questions or comments from the board? Just out of curiosity, I went in and looked at another local district and what they had on their agendas and their reports. And in theirs, they had a general manager report that basically gave the utilities report, basically gave the other reports. And so in their general manager reports, that is rather lengthy and detailed. And here, for Los Osos, we break that information out. So just to let you know that we do give an accounting, and please be quiet in the background, okay? This is number 3, thank you. Number 4, thank you. All right. So just to let you know that by giving our other reports through utilities and the fire and such, we encompass the activities of the district.
And the only comment I guess I would make to follow that up is I appreciate all the diversity of the things you take care of. I think it's very, very impressive. Thank you.
All right. LOCAP report.
Thank you again, Mr. President. This time I'm here in my capacity as Vice Chairman of LOCAC, and I have two meetings to report to you on. Last Thursday we held our regular monthly meeting. The high points were a fairly quiet meeting, where that there was an unusual spike in auto accidents here, largely non-injury and likely simply a statistical spike. We got a presentation from the county that there will be two short stretches of road where the utilities will be put underground, close to a half a mile long LOBR just outside of town, and then a similar distance along South Bay, but I think south of where Turi comes out. Guess a nice thing, everybody's really pleased about it. The pity is that none of them will be done in conjunction with the sewer project, so we will have the roadways dug up. That we had an upcoming special meeting to deal with the McDonald's, and I'll speak to that after I finish my report on this meeting. And the final important item that we discussed is that we have LOCAC elections coming up. We have 5 openings. Normally we would have 4, one in each district, but District 2 has a second opening as well. And we are certainly very happy to have anyone and everyone participate in the election. It's very important to have the community involved. So please talk to your friends, talk to your neighbors. The more candidates, the better. The application for candidacy is due 4/17, and the election will be in May. I'll be at the library and at the Ralphs this Saturday handing out information about the election, and hopefully we'll have somebody doing it again Monday, and including the farmers market. And that was pretty much what went on at that meeting. The next meeting was this past Monday. It was devoted solely and exclusively to a second look at the McDonald's question. The primary points, there were points made about the alleged inherent unhealthfulness of the food offered in McDonald's and comments about McDonald's corporate practices, but in my mind, the primary points were that we discussed the fact that there had been a 50% overstatement in the representations as to the current water usage at the location. There were questions about reasonableness of the water usage, even given the new data, which represents half as much. There were questions about the reliability of any mitigation undertakings, concerns about traffic, concerns about light and auto pollution, and a discussion of the methodology involved in determining what sort of auto pollution you can expect in a drive-through vis-a-vis park and walk-in enterprise. Council did vote. We voted 4-2 supporting the Planning Commission position, including the denial of the drive-through, and this was a substantial reversal of the earlier vote, which had approved the McDonald's as proposed by the applicant. And that was the end of our meeting. Thank you all. Yes, sir.
Well, I have a question, but let's see if the board has a question first.
I like their fries, but I won't buy in. Yeah.
Go ahead. Director Liskin.
Yeah. Paul, excuse me. How many members are on LOCAC total?
11. 11, when we have a full council, 6 to have a quorum.
Okay. So right now, you have... I'm just asking you...
Oh, no, the numbers I gave you had to do with the openings that will exist.
Oh, okay. I'm just...
Okay. There aren't. We have, I think, 8 serving members right okay. now.
So you have 3 vacancies, but you have 5 to fill.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
I'm sorry to follow, but you said you're going to be at the library and Ralph's, and obviously you can't be at 2 places
sure,
at the same time. So, could you just specify the times, or in morning, afternoon, or whatever?
I'm going to try to show up at the library at the opening and try to get over to Ralph's at noon.
Okay. So they can be looking at the library in the morning?
Yeah, at 10 o'clock. And I'll make an attempt to leave materials at the library.
I just want to help you get the maximum.
I appreciate it very much. Very much, very much. And, you know, you could do us all a great favor. If you've worked enough here, you could come join us at LOCAC. But we have no budget.
Thank you.
I
appreciate the offer.
Director Wright.
Okay, this is a roads question. I'm not sure if you have the answer, but South Bay Boulevard, that's going to be repaved this year? Yes?
Well, it ought to be in the completion of the sewer.
Okay. I thought it was a separate...
But it's not at all expected that the sewer project will still be running when the undergrounding of the utilities occurs. So what's almost guaranteed to happen there is that South Bay Boulevard will be repaved. And since the South Bay Boulevard project is the second in time of the 2 undergrounding projects, it will certainly involve tearing it up again.
Okay. Looking forward to it.
Director Ohulski.
Yeah, I had another question. I've noticed the signs driving in and out to San Luis Obispo about Los Osos Valley Roads are going to be closed from the 7th to the 23rd.
Know nothing about that. It wasn't mentioned. I haven't seen the sign.
Okay, I was just wondering if that was brought up at your meeting.
No, it wasn't.
All right, thank you.
Okay. Any other?
4:15 at the station at 5:30.
All right. Very good. That was an easy one. Back to my agenda. Utilities Advisory Committee.
Yes. Mr. President, the Utilities Advisory did meet on March 12th at 5:30 at the district office. We had two items on our agenda. And the first one was the Outdoor Water Conservation Subcommittee report. And the subcommittee member Jason Zapp gave a detailed summary of the report. There was much discussion about the various outdoor conservation possibilities, projects, suggestions, and things. The conversation did turn to a suggestion the board enter a contract up to $5,000 to initiate the development of a public relations and advertising campaign for water conservation. This is something that was explained that is fairly common to do, to undertake a project such as this. The committee recommended that the board enter into this contract to do this, and I support that. We've been talking about a lot of conservation things, and one of the difficulties in these discussions is actually getting started, going and finding the proper staff and staff time and resources to complete some of these things. So with that, I would like to have a board direction to direct staff to enter into a qualification.
It's a request for qualifications.
Request for qualifications.
There you go.
Yeah. Before we take action on that or give direction, we also had District Engineer Rob Miller reported on the Emergency Water Shortage Contingency Plan update. The board directed the committee to move forward to look at next steps at our last meeting, as you know. And these steps were consulting with the Golden State Water Company and ST Mutual, move forward with the financial analysis, attend the DWR webinar regarding setting ratings for drought conservation plans, review Prop 218 process, extend view from residential focus to multifamily commercial, and conduct a community workshop to discuss the plan and include local nurseries and landscapers, local water purveyors, and other potential speakers. So I believe that Mr. Miller did have a meeting with Golden State and S&T. I can't report on that. We are, as far as you assigned me as an ad hoc committee of one to work on the financial analysis, and I've met with Mr. Munns, and we are meeting with district staff to get the financial information on that. So that is ongoing. I did attend the DWR webinar with Ron Munns at the Wallace Group, and it was very informative. It was great for me to be there and be on the same level with their discussions. Not that I'm can understand what they're discussing, but at least I kind of got the drift of that. So that was good. So the rest of this is ongoing, and we will continue it at our meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Our next meeting is going to be Wednesday, April 9th at 5:30 at the district office.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
As the ad hoc committee of one, that was me. By the way, you on your committee have a subcommittee. You don't have an ad hoc committee, but that's...
No, I have an ad hoc committee with a volunteer.
Okay. But anyways, the community workshop ad hoc committee, which was me, we did meet, and Kathy and I did meet and discuss this with Golden State. We are in the process of putting together a community workshop right now. We're still in the planning stages of that, but I've talked to both Ron and Rob about what they're doing so we can make the presentation. When we talked at last meeting, we talked potentially about them taking 2 months to complete the work. So that's why I'm looking at the middle of May sometime at this point. But we'll have that finalized by the end of next week. Okay?
Okay. That conclude your report?
That concludes my report, yes.
Any questions from the board? I have questions, but I don't know if it goes to you, General Manager, or maybe to Director Wilski. Do we have a status for contacting Cambria on how they determine their number of their households as opposed to just as far as... Okay.
That's me. Yeah, Rob Miller is working on that, and unfortunately, he's on vacation, so I was not able to get an update from him based on your question to me.
Very good. And then I guess it's going to fall back to you. What about the status of Golden State in considering the water conservation ordinance?
Yes. Board Member Olhelski and I did speak with them, and they are willing to take a look at it. They could not make any commitment at this time.
We have forwarded, Rob forwarded the information that we have prepared at this point, and they have received it. So,
right. Very good. All right. So with that, it's Financial Advisory Committee report.
We're going to split this one. Michael and I are going to split this one because I attended the first meeting, and Michael did most of the second meeting for reasons that I'll explain in a minute. But our first meeting, which was on the 21st, I believe. Pardon? 24th, I'm sorry. The 24th, where this was basically, as I called it, was the rebooting of the committee, because we had just the prior meeting before that on that weekend appointed the committee. But we did the Brown Act training, which this was my third time giving it this year, so I'm thinking I'm either getting better or worse at it. I'm not sure. But anyways, we did our Brown Act training. And then we did talk about the four tasks that you had assigned to us, Craig, as to how those would be worked on. And two of them were basically just where there would be a recommendation by the committee to renew the investment policy. And so the two of them were just that. The two that we're going to have subcommittees working on are the administrative allocations and the investment policies. So we did set up subcommittees for those two. And last but not least at that meeting, and I'm going to paraphrase what's in your written staff report here, but there was four tasks that the committee requested that I submit to the board for direction or for them to consider. One was the water rates and the emergency ordinance, because obviously the emergency ordinance is not only going to have impact on consumption, but have an impact on our revenues. Secondly, the basin management financial impacts and financing of it. Thirdly, the level of service for the fire department. And fourthly, accounting procedures and policies. And that's been one, and I'll go back to when I was president, even before I was president, that's been one that we've been trying to revise our accounting policies and procedures for a long time. It's something that we just never did, and I've got Lisa Gonzalez, who is on our Financial Advisory Committee, is like, you know, that's what she does for a living, so she's willing to work with us on updating our accounting policies and procedures. But those are the four tasks, and again, I'm generalizing what was written on here because I'd like to give us maximum flexibility. But those were the four tasks that they requested that they be given the charge to work on over the upcoming year. Obviously, I don't need an answer today because we have a couple of things that we're working on in the short term, which is the administrative allocations, but that's for your consideration down the road. And the second meeting, I will have to qualify this. For those who don't know, I'm the president of the San Luis Obispo Downtown Association because I apparently have too much to do with my life. But we had our annual retreat on Monday, which went from 7 until 5. I got to the meeting very, very late. It already started, and I left early because I was just exhausted. So I'll have Michael give that report.
Okay. Thanks. Yeah, we did meet on the 24th, and we reviewed or approved the FAC minutes. We also reviewed, met on the 31st. That's what I meant. Okay. But we approved the minutes of March 24th. Right. Okay, no problem. Must be catching the entire. Okay. Okay, we also reviewed the March 2014 warrants and warrant registers, and we recommended to the board to accept them tonight. Then, like, and Marshall discussed.
No questions or comments from the board? Okay.
Then what I'd like to do is give direction to staff to accept the UAC's recommendation for putting out an FRQ or RFQ. Okay. What's that? Time out. hang on. Okay. Yes. Yeah. I know we still have that. Gotcha. All right. So let's pause on the recommendations, and let's I'd like to see if any directors have any announcements of district and community interests and reports of attendance at public meetings, training programs, conferences, seminars, and DWR webinars.
Mr. President, I attended the regular LOCAC meeting that Mr. Malakon summarized for us.
Thank you. Director Holsky?
Just a couple quick things. We had a session sponsored by PG&E at our Special Districts Association meeting yesterday. Seems like a month ago. Yesterday. And we talked about energy conservation programs available to special districts and governmental entities. The focus of the meeting was primarily on wastewater treatment plants, but we did also discuss on energy programs and rebates available to water purveyors for pump replacements and items like that. So that's something that we will be pursuing as a district. It's basically interest-free money to do this stuff. They come out and do an analysis of the expenses and how we can conserve on energy. Then they provide interest-free funding to do this. So that's something we'll be looking at. And then secondly, as the president of the Morro Bay National Estuary Program, we do have the State of the Bay taking place during April. And I just wanted to emphasize that because we've done it a little bit different this year. In the past, what we've done is we've had a single event on a weekend day, a Saturday. And what we've done this year is we've tried to create a series of different programs so we could involve the entire estuary area. So we have programs for children, we have programs that are out on the bay, we have educational programs, we have update programs. There's a very, very varied agenda over the month of April. So what I would encourage everybody to do is to go ahead and either look on the website, which there is a link on our on the LOCSD website, but if you want to go directly, it's mbnep.org, and you can just click on the State of the Bay. Once you get to mbnep.org, you can click on State of the Bay, and it will take you to the entire program for the month. Also, if you'd rather just telephone, you can call Catherine at 772-3834, extension 13, and Catherine is the one that's coordinating this program for the estuary program. And I know that most of you have seen the logo, which is in black and white on this handout, but I really love this logo. It's in orange, and it's a lot of nice colors. But we're trying to do this to get people more involved. When we did our policy updates and our programs last year, we had a number of seminars and workshops, and we had one in Los Osos that was very, very well attended. So we decided to break with tradition here, and like I said, instead of doing a single program, have a variety of programs. So there will be something that everybody will be interested in, trust me, because we have programs from paddleboarding to educational things to everything. So I would encourage people, again, mbnep.org or 772-3834, extension 13, Catherine, and she'll take you through the whole thing. So those are my two things that I've gone on.
Before I do mine, the Morro Bay Estuary, they have a mailing list, don't they? You can get on their newsletter, right? So that's something.
If you go to the website, you can click on it and get on the list.
A very worthwhile thing to get, and then you get updates on the regular.
Yeah. So nice. Not only would you get announcements of this particular events, but you get the monthly newsletter too.
Yeah.
And before you start, Director Moodheart, just. It might be obvious, but still, all those letters running together were Morro, for the website, is Morro Bay, MB, National Estuary, NE, and then P for program. So MB.
Entities are encouraged to apply for grants. We have our supplemental well 8th Street project in that system right now. There was another update on the Paso groundwater basin management efforts. And James Caruso of the County Planning Department gave a PowerPoint which provided input on potential water conservation implementation strategies. They can amend ordinances for growth, management, land use, merger of standard parcels, and amend the transfer of developmental credit. So what that means is in their planning processes, they can plan, trying to plan more efficiently for water usage. In his presentation, he did bring up the level of severity, and I thought it was just interesting for Los Osos, of course, we're at a level 3 severity. But the main issues that they have here are seawater intrusion, multiple water providers, infrastructure problems, and funding. I just thought that was interesting how he had summarized that. So I just thought I would read that off. There was a subcommittee report on water resources related sections of the county's resource management system, and that was presented, and there was substantial input from RAC members on that. That ends my report.
Thank you. All right. Any comments? No? With that, I'd like to open up public comment. No, I don't have that. Do I have that down?
You have the recommendations. Can do that now?
Hang on. I got to read my instructions. Oh. Okay, so we're going to go to public comment for items on the administrative reporting committees and consent agenda. But before we start, does any director want to pull an item from the consent agenda? No. In that case, let's hear public comment on the reports and the consent agenda. Yes.
The first comment I have, my name is Al Barrell, is that when the committee voted to approve the Finance Committee's agenda, they made the stipulation, the person that made the motion, that it include the concerns of the committee in their comments. You failed to point that out, Mr. Wright, and I think that is very important that the public be part of our government if we're going to be a democracy. The second thing is regarding the conservation reports. Golden State charges everybody for the water that they conserve, flat out. Last year they charged the ratepayers $600,000, and they claimed that as a lost revenue. And the California Public Utilities Commission, along with the Department of Ratepayers Assistance, approves that. And it's applied for under RAM, which means Water Resources Assessment Mechanism, RAM. It's on your bill. So you may ask Golden State to conserve, but they're going to ask these people out here that are ratepayers to pay for the lost revenue. I don't know if you had that discussion with them or if you're even aware of that, Mr. Ohilski, but that is the case. That's one of the reasons why we're making a move to buy out Golden State Water, because the CSD doesn't charge you for not using water. The CSD charges you for the water that you consume. That's correct. So I think that was a big concern that I had. So I also would like to point out that when you address, my comments are to Catherine Kively, is that when you address the board, you should also address the public, in my view. I mean, I think we all, you represent us. That's the only reason you're here, is because we elected you and they, your staff was appointed by the board. It's really important to get this concern of what the people speak. And that's not only here, but at the committee meetings too, you know. So I attended a couple of finance advisory committees, and I presented
as it's not a department, was just handed out. So the public doesn't get an opportunity to see the amount of work that the general manager is doing unless they go to the website, and not all of the public has availability of the technology to do that. A long time ago, several years, committee reports were, the plan was to use a standard format for the committee reports. So they all look the same. That's been lost somewhere. Just a suggestion, maybe try to reinvigorate that standardized committee report for ease of the board to look at and the community. One question, do you really think anyone in Los Osos or Baywood or San Luis or California is unaware that we're in a drought situation, and is it worth $5,000 of this community's money to make them more aware of that we're in a drought situation? We might bank that money for allocating to administrative costs. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Thank you, Mr. President. Paul Malakant. I don't understand some of the numbers. Perhaps I get some clarification. The rate of water usage, as I recall, it rose more rapidly than the revenues. Assuming that we're talking only about revenues from water usage and not other sources, because there was the solid waste funds last year, and if that's the missing number, maybe that'll explain it. But if there's not something like that, I'd like some understanding on how water usage could rise more quickly than revenues, especially I'm not completely familiar with your billing structure, but if it's a tiered billing structure, then by definition revenues would rise more quickly than water consumption. Thank you.
Lindy Owen, on the reports, the utilities report definitely, I'm very glad to see the consumption graph going back on there. It should have been part of the mandated plan from transferring from one computer program programming to another. And so I'm glad that it did get worked out. I wonder how long it took to put together the rationale that we got presented about how it doesn't matter that people were overbilled because of the tier section. Took many rounds of discussing numbers to try to come up with a story that we heard. I think on the general manager's report, again, no report. It was just said that the public isn't able to access and find all this stuff. The reason we have this televised is because we have a Channel 20, and on the Channel 20, we provide the information that the public should have or be able to have about how their money is spent and who does the work and what the reports say. So I disagree that having no report from the manager, if she wants to look back at what we did before, she may get an idea of how it was done and that it was acceptable, that was appropriate. AGP video, I asked the question, for gosh sakes, could I have an answer maybe from the general manager of what happened and how we got back on our feet. We had all new equipment put in. There's been a problem, I understand, sometimes between AGP getting in to load new stuff. That's just, why do we have a general manager except to take care of problems like that? That is on the ground, high heels or boots, whatever. It needs to be done by somebody, and that's why you were hired. Water conservation. We've been talking about at the utilities, we have $30,000 set aside in our budget to do water conservation. Where's the update of what you've spent with, and I don't remember his name, I'm sorry, Jason, the man who was hired to help us put together the conservation information, and we were offering water audits. It's brilliant. Where's that? How much has been spent? How much success have we seen? Those are things that you should be able to do, Ms. Kivley. That's what I expect from a general manager. The reports are all separate reports. That's everybody's particular area. But how the office runs, why are we not open till 5 like we used to be? Is that because we have more personnel but there's more work? Or, I mean,
wow. The utilities report, what Ms. Faulkner read should be written and available to the public, and I am right now requesting that document by Public Record Act. I want that in writing. Save me the trouble of transcribing it from the tape. Save us all. And you should be studying those figures to double-check her work. The utilities report, you asked for a report on the water line breakage or whatever happened down on 2nd Street 3 months ago. Still haven't seen it. That was your overbilling report, and I think it was highly inadequate in that we couldn't study it or understand it but for what she said out verbally at the podium. The general manager's report, I don't think anybody was asking for a time study. She gave you a list of tasks that she's been doing. I want to know what she stands for. I haven't seen a recommendation that comes from any investigation for this board to take this community forward. All I see is that she's checking the box, she's opening the door at the office, she's just getting the daily tasks done. What is she going to do to implement a future for this district, and a district that needs to find its way after bankruptcy? This idea that you're going to spend $5,000 on promoting the drought or conservation, there's a $5 million conservation program going on in this community right now. You can spend nothing and just promote that and save water. On its heels is the slow green build water conservation by reuse of our septic systems. They're going to give you all the outdoor conservation things that you need.
Thank you.
And I want to know if the board got this letter from the county asking for your drought projects.
Thank
Where's
you.
That in her report? The letter dated March
Thank
5th.
You. Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Richard Margetson, it's nice to see you guys are circling the wagons. The Finance Committee report, Mike, actually, really? That was what came from...
Excuse me. Direct your comments to me.
I can talk to whoever I want.
Direct your comments to me.
We were there for 2.5 hours.
Direct your comments to me.
And
no comments from the back, please.
And
no comments from the back, please. No comments from the back, please. No comments. Continue.
Can I get my time back?
Continue.
Oh, my God, you guys are pathetic. You are pathetic, Mr. Baltimore. You didn't even have an understanding of the water rate report from the thing from your utilities manager, so I'll jump down to that. I gave you guys the opportunity. You actually think that's the appropriate way to run this through the community because only 7 people came in? It's not their responsibility to come in. It's your responsibility to correct this issue. And you guys have so much respect for Ron Munns. Ron Munns said if this was happening in the city of San Luis, it would have been corrected within one billing cycle. And you absolutely owe a refund because it only deals with that billing cycle. Keep making the excuse. The people that were going to come and voice their concerns to you publicly here at this meeting, they will come now next time. I've held them off. I've held the article to the newspaper off. You're absolutely 100% incorrect on this issue. Incorrect. It deals with that billing cycle because you have a tiered rate structure. That's the issue. So you brought it on yourself, so now we'll deal with it. The Finance Committee recommendation was not what Mr. Wright intimated. First of all, after 2.5 hours, Mr. Swanson finally had to go use the restroom because we didn't take a break. Mr. Wright called for the vote while Mr. Swanson was in the restroom. A motion was made. It failed. Next motion came back. Lisa Gonzalez made the motion with the qualification that all of the issues discussed that evening were addressed before it came before you. It's on the tape. Go back and listen to it. That's what happened. And the vote was 3-1 with Keith out of the room. And Keith stated when he came back after the meeting was open, he would have been the second no vote to send it forward because it's not ready and it's still not ready. Now, with respect to the staff report or the comment about from LOCAC.
So they asked our community to run our meetings. If some members of the community don't want to abide by it, that's their choice. But I did not disenfranchise anyone. I simply said at the beginning at the meeting what it was. So you can, as a public member, choose to follow your bylaws, or you can, as a public member, not choose. So again, the bylaws ask that our public identify them by their name and their place of residence. Thank you. With that, Director Olhisky.
I wanted to make a motion to receive and file the administrative and committee reports and approve the consent agenda. But I know you wanted to discuss that RFQ. Is that appropriate before we do that motion or after?
I'm just going to make a motion to accept all the recommendations of the committee.
Okay, so I'll go ahead and recommend that we receive and file the administrative committee reports and approve the consent agenda.
I'll second it.
Any discussion?
No.
No discussion? With that, call for a vote.
Director Hilsky?
Yes.
Director Muthart?
Yes.
Director Storm?
Yes.
Vice President Wright?
Yes.
President Baltimore?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, so the consent agenda is gone. So general action items. So with that, general action item A, general manager.
All right, Mr. President and members of the board. The item before you this evening is a mid-year budget review for funds 100, 200, 301, 400, 500, 600, 650, and 800. The information that is provided to you provides a comprehensive overview of the district's fiscal condition at the midpoint of the current fiscal year. The district's 2013-2014 budget reflects current assumptions and possible trends. The preparation and submittal of this financial review at the midpoint of the fiscal year provides an opportunity for the districts to look at their financial budget picture and identify recommended adjustments to make the district whole. Important note that I need to make at this point is that the solid waste functions were transferred as of December 31st, 2013. The expenditures were grouped. This these expenditures are different than how your expenses were portrayed to you last year. The expenditures were grouped under many different summary titles throughout the Statement of Revenue and Expenditure Reports. These expenses were regrouped and retitled to conform more appropriately with standard government accounting practices and procedures. These expenditure groups are similar to what is presented in your most recent audit. It is very confusing for anyone reading the document. We have taken the benefit billings, the labor billings, and the admin cost that were spread throughout your budget and grouped them under one single category. It is very confusing for anyone reading the budget to come across credits and contra accounts within a budget instead of having them all grouped as they should be. It also gives you an opportunity to look and see exactly how much you are moving around with your credits as far as your labor, your benefits, and your allocation plan. We'll start with what also is included in here besides this is a summary of the bankruptcy information and a list of the bankruptcy creditors that were paid according to the plan that was approved by the bankruptcy court. The first in front of you are the exhibits that are going to be on the slides this evening. There are only six exhibits, and they're basically recaps with the exception of the administrative allocation. At the Finance Advisory Committee meeting, I made the statement that we were working on a cost allocation plan. I presented the preliminary plan, and the comments were made that it should be based, that the board wants us to move towards a time allocation based on actual time that we have added those together and divided them by three to get a percentage that's chargeable. The total allocation that is shown down there is for fire is $103,158.28. Water is $395,298.96. Solid waste is $58,329.35. Drainage is $36,620.48. And the wastewater is $112,189.92. Now, why there is funding in the wastewater is because of the fact that we are concluding the bankruptcy, and there is an enormous number of hours that are necessary in order to close out this account and to close out this fund. We have started the work, but it is not completed at this time. The total allocation that is administrative allocation that's necessary to meet this year is the projected expenditures at $601,972 and the administration deficit that is shown in the final audit statements of $103,625. You cannot carry forward an administrative deficit. That should have been handled in prior years and was not handled, so it must be handled this year. It will become an audit exception next year. So this is simply a methodology. This is a methodology only for this year. It is not a methodology for the years to come because that still needs to be taken care of. And this is a methodology based on actual time that is being performed this year. Do you want to ask questions in between or do you want me to go through the whole thing first?
In between.
Sure, that's fine.
I think questions in between would be good.
Okay. Questions on the cost allocation plan? Now, mind you, this will come back to you because if we don't have, if our expenses are not $601,972, the plan will change. The percentages will remain the same, but the dollar values will be less.
The Office of Management and Budget Circular A87 that you talk about, does that recommend the time?
There are several allowable formulas that you can use, and time happens to be one of them.
What are the others?
The others are, the others are percentage of revenue. The other, as I'm trying to think of some of the others that are in there. I can't think of them off the top of my head, but there are two or three. Most times, as long as it is justified and you can actually take it back to some documents, and those documents support what it is, if the board adopts it, then it meets the OMB 87 circular.
Thanks.
I'm just the question. The question, as far as you had mentioned that the percentages wouldn't change, but that's, to me, it sounds like the percentages would change from budget year to budget year.
Yes, they will change from budget year, depending on what tasks and functions are necessary under the particular positions, mm-hmm. and the amount of time.
But as what I understand that is that this fiscal year, these percentages won't change.
That's correct. These percentages won't change this fiscal year.
Right.
This is to get us through June 30th.
Understand.
I was just, I mean, I that's kind of a general question, so I don't know if you can answer this, because I'm trying to remember what we just. I don't remember deciding exactly that this was the way we were going to do it.
You cited on October 30th of 2013, prior to my arrival, is that the current method of administration allocation cost has fire paying 5% of its revenues. This is actually less than that 5% of its revenues. Mm-hmm. Other than that, other than the one that was done back in 2011, we have not been able to find any other administrative allocation formulas that you as a board have adopted.
What we adopted, because I was on that ad hoc committee, was to use actual costs. So to look at the previous year, see what the costs were, use projections of the next year to make an estimate of those percentages, as opposed to a fixed percentage, actual cost. And so in this
year, to look at how our allocations are established to complete the year out.
Uh-huh. Right. This is just the mid-year look to see where the trends are.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's not a final, we're not,
it's not
setting
the final
budget. Right. Yes,
Director
Holsky.
Just maybe to go back and clarify. When we adopted the budget, if you remember last year, there was a qualifier that at some point during the upcoming year, the solid waste franchise would be transferred to the county.
Mm-hmm.
So we did not budget any money from that into our budget. And then secondly, there was the direction from you and the ad hoc committee to come up with an administrative allocation formula. So the purpose of this mid-year budget adjustment is primarily to deal with that transfer of the solid waste and the revised approach towards the administrative allocation. So
okay.
I hope that I mean,
no,
this is
fine.
Not the be-all
and all,
but
the reminder, I guess. Get it all out there. Thank you.
All right, next item.
Okay, next slide. What you have in front of you is the administrative recap. This slide, short the fact that we took out the unrestricted fund balance, is identical to what is contained within the packet. It is important to note that you cannot have a reserve in your administrative allocation. And the reason you cannot have a reserve in your administrative allocation is in your administrative budget is because those dollars are provided from other funds. And those funds have the reserve. All the money that you're supposed to get is just the dollar value of what your administrative allocation is. So we have removed that, and you will see that you have a deficit in the fund of $103,625. You have expenditures that will total 601, projected expenditures that will total $601,972, meaning your total expenditures and your plus your deficit will equal $705,597. That is exactly the amount that we are asking you to approve with regards to the administrative allocation for this year only.
Any questions on Fund 100?
I'd just like to point out to the board that the reformatting of these summaries are the loose sheets, not the ones in our packet. It came out of the FAC meeting that those weren't very readable, so General Manager Kibley reformatted them. So the loose sheets are more reader-friendly.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Next item.
Okay. Next, Fire Fund 301. The information that is before you in the reformatting is identical to what is presented in the budget document that is within the packet. You have a fund balance as of June 30th, 2013 of $1,077,808. You have projected revenues for 2013-2014 of $2,254,528. Your projected expenditures for 2013-2014, including this includes the original allocation. This will change if you allow the administrative allocation. It'll be necessary for us to go back and re-include that. So your expenditures will be higher, but at that time it was $2,191,790, leaving a projected fund balance of $1,140,546. Your restricted fund balance, of course, is your reserves that are set aside. Now, this will change. This recap will change if you approve the administrative allocation. But it was not our position to go in and change this until we have the approval from the board. Any questions?
Yes, Director Holsky.
I guess I wasn't clear about this at the fact the other day. The last two lines, the projected unrestricted fund balance and projected
restricted fund balance,
both of those are reserve funds?
No. Yes. No. The 196,059 is a reserve fund.
What is the item above that, then?
That is an unrestricted fund balance. That's just funds that are available.
Okay. So
I'm okay. All right. I'm good.
Good. Director Wright?
Good.
All right, next item.
Okay. Okay. Your next item is your water fund, Fund 500. And you will see that you have a fund balance as of June 30th, 2013, of $2,071,000. $1,673. We projected revenues for 2013-2014 of $2,745,880. Your projected expenditures prior to the inclusion of the new cost allocation plan was originally projected at $2,994,983. That would leave you a projected fund balance at the end of 2013-2014 of $1,822,570. In this case, your reserve set asides are $247,000, leaving the remaining fund balance unrestricted of $1,575,570.
That's
thank you.
Director Muthart.
You're waiting for me.
Okay. No, we're not waiting for you. It just looks like you're going to ask a question. Yeah. I have one if you guys... Director
Wright. I have a question. This does not include... My understanding is this does not include the rate change?
This does not include... That's correct. This does not include this. Okay. In this particular case, it would drop down to $395,298.96, where you see the transfers out at this time of $572,528. So it would actually reduce that.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
While Leonard's thinking, I would like to thank I think this reformatting from what we saw at the Financial Advisory Committee is a lot clearer, so I like this format a lot better. You know, I'm
no comments. If you cannot restrain yourself, remove yourself. Any other comments from the board?
No, I'm good.
You're good there. Hang on. I'm just getting... I know this is just projections and trends.
Right.
Okay. So projected revenues, $2.7 million. Projected expenditures, $3 million. So it looks like a trend. There could be a shortfall.
And what that's correct. It could be. It depends, too, of course, on your cost allocation plan. It also depends, too, on how good we are at saving on some of our costs. And remember, these are only projected expenditures.
Right.
All right? And some of them may be projected a little bit high because there are some unknowns out there that we have not been able to take care of as yet.
So, in general, these are manageable numbers for budget of the district.
Yes, they are.
All right, thank you.
And also the revenue from the rate increase will start to show. When will we be seeing?
I think you're already seeing some of that. There will be a CPI increase again this year in July, but you are seeing increases. What you also are seeing is the effects of the drought and the water conservation.
Okay, thanks.
All right, next item.
Okay. All right, the next item is solid waste. And this sheet is a little bit different than the last sheet, and the reason that it is that in preparing the information, I put the bankruptcy dollar value that had to be contributed in order to make the Class 8 creditor payments. In the expenditures, as far as in the budget comparison and the other expenditures, but I neglected to add.
Maybe you could explain that. You go through that the 65-188.
Okay. Well, before you do that, under this solid waste fund, the unrestricted fund balance and the projected revenues, those should be no numbers, correct?
Yes. The restricted fund balance is, because that's your reserve set aside. That's a known number based on what you put in the budget the beginning of last year. So we know what that is, and that's set.
Right. But the revenues?
The revenues, they're based on the $151,000 that you received in the franchise fees.
Okay. But we know that on December 31st.
That's it.
Okay.
That's correct. We know that.
So where is that shown in here, the fact that, you know, the 151 is actually half that?
No, that's actually what you received. $151,000 is actually what you received.
Okay.
That's 6 months' worth, yes.
Gotcha.
Thank you.
Okay. That's what I was asking. Is that a hard number?
Yeah, that's a hard number.
Okay.
It's hard and fast.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. And the question that you, that Board Member Muthart was asking is, the reserves that you originally set aside for this year were $115,188, and I've asked for a $75,000 reduction in those reserves.
Okay.
And that requires board action. I can't do that on my own.
Okay. Any other questions? All right. Thank you. Next item.
Okay. The last one is your drainage recap. In this particular case, you had a fund balance as of June 30th, 2013 of $223,607. You have projected revenues of $95,674. You have expenditures that will total $56,865. Now, again, that will change if you adopt the cost allocation plan. And at that time, we're projecting a fund balance of $262,416. In this particular case, one of the major budget changes that we made, which I talked about earlier, was the combination of moving all of the allocations of administrative expenditures, such as the benefits charged by admin, the benefits charged by water, the labor charged by admin, the labor charged by water, and the administrative cost allocations, which totaled $81,149. We actually reduced those in the budget, and then we established the cost allocation, because that amounted to $81,149 of your $95,674 you were getting in.
I didn't quite catch that.
You what? I'm sorry.
The $81,000.
Yes.
Try again.
Okay. You originally, unfortunately, throughout this budget, there were items placed in their contra accounts and other charges for administrative for labor charges and for benefit charges. All of those were spread throughout that budget. That is not the way to budget. The way to budget is to put it in the cost allocation plan for the administration, and then get the board to approve it, and then that's how you charge it. For your direct cost, which would be those people, those crew members that are working in the drainage area, that is a direct charge to there. And at the end of the year is when you look at that, and then you, if there are benefits that are not in there for those actual costs that they work, you transfer those in at that time. That's how that is handled.
Okay, so the difference on that, I'm just trying to figure out where that 81,000 number you were talking, where that came from.
If you, where did it come from? It was in the budget. It was in your original budget. It was in the original budget. Yes.
I got a question.
Sure.
Is it possible at this point? I mean, it'll definitely be asked for the next fiscal year, but at this point, to break out the Vista de Oro drainage?
They are included in your report. All right. The problem was we did not analyze either one of them because they were so small. We took on the larger accounts,
right,
and they are broken out as far as statement of revenue and expenditures. $15,188 that was originally in your budget, down to the $65,188 that I'm asking for now.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Any other questions? Working on? Okay. You want to save it for discussions?
I was going to say is that the question that you raised about the Vista de Oro, I want to make sure if that's not addressed, and it's not addressed in this budget, I just can't find the fund off the top of my head.
Right.
But I do think that as far as going into the upcoming year, we do want to break them out, the septic district separately. So I just want to follow up on that.
They are, by the way, one
what
is 200
is okay,
and one is 400.
That's the answer to your question.
Okay, thank you. All right. Any concluding remarks to the report?
Thank you for that.
Not a problem. No, not at this time.
All right. Thank you very much. At this time, I would like to take public comments on General Action Item 12A, the Fiscal Year Mid-Year Budget. Do I have anybody... Do I have anybody, first speaker, please?
Julie Tacker, and I think the thing that jumped out at me the most was this figure for solid waste, this $151,000 in 6 months. If that is accurate, then a year would have been revenue of $302,000. That would have been the best we've ever seen from the solid waste. And if that's the case, then the $2.8 million that we were given for it was wholly inadequate. That number's wrong. It cannot be right. So... something's wrong. It doesn't work. That's not what we're accustomed to from the franchise fee, even if we take the full 10%. Some other things that, and they're peppered throughout the report, there's an increase in overtime in the administrative department. Our budget was $5,000. We're already at $8,300, and the general manager is requesting an increase to $9,600 for overtime for the administrative department. I understand that this was discussed at the Finance Committee somewhat, and that the blame or cause was the participation of Ann Coudart at committee meetings. Ann! $9,600 more this year? I don't think so. That has got to have a better explanation. I'm sure her tax preparer will have some problems for her. Something I don't see and I'd like to see broken out is impacts to our staff from the wastewater project. And how are we going to bill that back? We need reimbursement from the county on those things. Last month when we opened it up for public comment and we talked about the public was able to speak, but you guys didn't consider the item, there's some outstanding questions with who got paid and how much in this bankruptcy, and in particular, in the bankruptcy settlement, in particular, it appears that people were paid or reimbursed fractionally, of course, for their assessments. We're all in this together. When I sat on that board and people made claims wanting their assessments back, we refused them. So how they're getting paid today is a disconnect. I'd like an explanation.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Before you start my clock, can I have the fire department recap put up?
Could you put up the fire department recap? And we're talking
for 944. When you run a surplus and you fully funded in your line item above your reserves for 196. She couldn't explain it on Monday. You guys bought it tonight. It's still not correct.
First of all, what's the definition of, you tried to get there, but you didn't. According to this analysis, there's only $196,000 of restricted reserves in the fire department. Where's the rest of the sinking fund for vehicle replacement? That's a restricted reserve. Where's the public facility funds? I guarantee you, by government code, that's a restricted fund. And how do you come up with the same exact number of $1,140,000 when you ran a surplus of $63,000 and you fully funded in your line items above? If you see, reserve set asides, $196,000 is part of your expenditures. How is that number exactly the same? That $1,140,000 should be $196,000 higher. And how did, let's go at it the other way. How did the unrestricted over the course of the year go down $133,000? This is in every one of these recaps, gentlemen. These were supposed to be addressed. Oh, the formatting? The only formatting change that was made was she brought the lines, she brought the numbers from this right-hand column over 2 inches. Every recap is the same except for solid waste. Every recap. And every recap was found to be wanting on Monday. You approve this. You're doing a disservice to this district financially, and you're the fiduciary responsibilities for this district.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Lindy Owen, I live in Los Osos. I have not followed a lot of the numbers here because they just are of not that much interest, but I'm sensing the disturbance of, again, a bunch of bad bookkeeping, and I don't know why it needs to be so darn complicated. You know, following it over the years, it has seemed like it's always got something that's not right. I just want to say that I totally trust Richard Margetson's sense of economics and understanding of our CSD finances, and I wish that you would make sure that you give him the time needed to go over this, either at the finance meetings or wherever, because it's always proven, as we see over and over again with people like Ron Munns, and their input, it turns out over and over again, your free assistance from this community is far more valuable than the people you seem to be hiring. So thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Hi, Paul Malakant. I have some requests and suggestions. I think it might be more useful for all of you and for the public at large if these presentations included the original budget numbers, and in similar type situations when you're dealing with actuals, prior periods, and then of course the variance and explanations of the variance, might be easier for you to actually deal with. We projected $2, we ended up with $3, got a difference of $1, and this is why. Okay. I'm not all that knowledgeable about accounting and finance. Also, want to suggest that perhaps it might be useful to have something equivalent to a balance sheet, a statement of financial condition, so that you can tie together from period to period. That'll tend to flush out where some of these numbers may or may not be right. And I don't know if what Mr. Margetson alluded to is correct, or there are other funds or whatever, but if you tie it all together like that, you have a much better chance of seeing where it moved. And the final thing, and I know this would be a burden, but it would be really useful to the directors and to the public. I don't know if you actually are going to do it, but if there were some meaningful time frame between when these updates and various sets of financial statements are issued and the date at which you actually address them. And maybe, you know, later on when you all talk about next agenda items, it would be nice to hear which of these you might want to adopt, if any. Thank you.
Thank you.
He has stated that their efforts, his efforts, have saved the district more than $2 million.
No comments, please.
Okay. Well, at any rate, there was a $2 million savings that he pointed out, and it has shown that the observation that he have made have been quite accurate and quite helpful to the community. And I think you have to view Mr. Margerson's criticism in a positive way, that he's trying to help you, all of you, understand how this is working. And it's really important because the community needs to have confidence in the integrity of this district and its ability to make the nut and to balance the book and to do the job in the most efficient way you can. And just to give you an example in comparison, one year you had $1,700,000 in revenues. I think it was 2013. Golden State had $4.5 million in revenues for almost the same base. So the public model for delivering water really works well, and we want it to be healthy and happy. Okay? So no offense to anyone. And thank you for your service.
Thank you. Seeing no other people, I'm going to close public comment and bring it back to the board for discussion.
I have a question. In regard to the fund 301, the reserve question, can you elaborate on that?
As I stated at the FAC, no, not at this time. I can do the research on it and bring it back to you, but we are still analyzing the cash and trying to make sure that all the cash is where it's supposed to be.
I was talking about the reserves.
And that is part of the reserves. At this point, this is all we can identify as the reserves because that's what's in the budget. You have three other bank accounts, and those accounts were not reconciled when we arrived and hadn't been reconciled for 7 months, and we are in the process of reconciling them and identifying all the cash.
Okay. Thank you. No comments, please.
My comment has to do with goes back to when I was president and Kathy came on board. The state of our financials was probably not in an optimum condition. I'm just going to say that. I think that bringing on software and new software, new accounting software, made us aware that there were gaps. Things were not in the proper places. I'm not an accountant, obviously. I can't talk that way, but I know that there was a tremendous challenge ahead of us to take what we had and fit it into the ledgers and whatever the systems that we of the new software that we have. It's a huge project. It was a and there's been a lot of effort put into it. We didn't realize that it was going to take as much effort as it has. There's been a tremendous amount of pressure put on staff to get financials put together, and we're in the budgeting process here. We're trying to make a mid-year adjustments. I'm okay. I mean, I don't want to drag things out, but if we want to take more time, I don't know what the ramifications are of that. If people want to say, yeah, I mean, we're coming up to budget time, and we want to get a new budget. So I think we're trying to put our eggs in that basket and get through this year because of the extraordinary circumstances of having staff changes, of having software changes, and having bankruptcy reconciliation. That triple whammy has put a tremendous strain on the system. If this isn't granted, there's bound to be, you know, maybe there's errors, there's discrepancies according to people's opinions, and math and that's being pointed out. Given all that, I think as a board, I mean, I'd like to see it.
That this is a work in progress, and we all acknowledge that, and it's a mm-hmm. process. From my perspective, speaking as the chair of the Financial Advisory, I think that we accept this as a work in progress, and then we put our emphasis on coming up with our next year's budget and implementing everything we need to do. Mm-hmm. Our budgetary year starts in 2 months, basically. Mm-hmm. So it seems to me we want to start working on that at this point. Say this is a snapshot in time. Mm-hmm. It complies with the audit, and mm-hmm. this is our best. I hate to use this word. I'm not an accountant either, so you and I can talk this. But this is a snapshot in time, and this is our best guess at where we are today. We're going to do an end-of-the-year adjustment when we get to the end of the year. Mm-hmm. But from my perspective, I'd rather see staff's time spent now on preparing our budget for the upcoming year rather than letting that slide. So,
mm-hmm. I agree with that. Logic. I just think, you know, I just can't stress enough how much energy has been put into this, and it's going to be better. It's going to be more. You know, once the software gets fully implemented and all the numbers get in there, then it works. But now we're getting there. That's my understanding.
Yeah. Yeah, and just to follow up, and then, you know, one of the things that I think is important as we move into the budgeting process. Yes. Thank you. Now we're even. Okay, into the budgeting process, though. You know, we're learning as we go along. I don't think there's any question about that. So I think that it's just I would like to see the involvement of our financial advisory committee as we move forward into, you know, the upcoming budgetary year. That way, when we, you know, we're able to work these things out. And I mean, not making excuses, but this is basically a last minute thing. And for us, this should have been done in December, quite frankly. And if we're going to push this off and do it in May, then we're going to start on next year's budget after the year starts. So it just seems to me we got to take, you know, close this interim, move forward on the final year budget, start working with our committees, get the input, et cetera, and work forward on next year's budget.
I think that's a valid comment. Maybe you can work as the chair with the general manager, and there might have to be an extra meeting or two thrown in for the financial activities committee because, you know, in June or something like that. But I think
we've already got our first financial advisory committee meeting scheduled to go over the upcoming year budget ahead of our next regular meeting. So we're already.
But again, you have to work with the general manager to see if that
she came up with the date.
Well, that's great. That's wonderful. So you did. All right. Any other comments by?
Well, I have one in regards to the next year's budget. It sounds like it's going to be a qualified budget in the fact we have these other accounts that are not reconciled, correct?
Our goal and what we committed to you was to have everything solid come June 30th of 2014.
Okay.
So we will have everything done at that point. That is our goal.
Thank you.
All right. Quiet, please. Any other comments? So again, with that, I entertain a motion from the board.
I move that the board adopt the budget revisions for fiscal year 2013-2014 as proposed in the mid-year reports, Exhibit 3 through Exhibit 9, and reaffirm the application of the revenue allocation plan as proposed in Exhibit 1.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, can I have a vote, please?
Director Storm?
Yes.
Director Muthart?
Yes.
Director Ohilski?
Yes.
Vice President Wright?
Yes.
President Baltimore?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. With that, we have general action item B. Can I have a reading of that from our general manager? Yeah.
Mr. President, members of the board, we received a notice from the California Special District Association call for nominations for seat C for the CSDA Board of Directors for the 2015-2017 term. They are elected. These directors are elected from geographical regions, and each region has three seats. We're looking for you if you have a nomination for a candidate for seat C. And it's important to note that the CSDA does reimburse
so they can make a, or whom your recommendation might be, or whether you're not going to recommend somebody before you're going to come. Wow, Craig, that's open process. That's the open government process. No discussion. We don't have a clue which direction you're going to go. And my second comment is I can't even remotely figure out if you guys had any clue what you just did. And you just approved, Leonard, a deficit water budget, a deficit spending water budget. Explain that when you have your financial analysis. You really, and I don't
items
think, and I don't think you made
items on the agenda.
I know, and I don't think you made the appropriate motion to approve number exhibit one.
Come back, Leonard.
Next speaker, please. Comments, please. Please remove yourself. Please remove yourself. Please remove yourself. Can you remove yourself?
Why you start my time, dude? Do that. Excuse me. I want 3 minutes, please. Thank you. Thank you. My name is Al Beryl. There's going to be a replacement or an election. Three seats on the board are up for re-election. Right? This fall, there's going to be an election. You have to consider the fact. What's the matter with this?
Talking the CSD election?
Yeah, there's going to be three members up for election in November.
This is for the state organization. This is not for our local CSD.
I understand that. But if the ones that are replaced are on this committee, it's not going to work very well. You understand? Maybe you don't understand my logic, okay?
Continue.
But that's okay. You're an architect. I'm a social science guy and an art. You're going to have three people that may be new on this board, and they will not be able to, the ones that you select may not be able to serve on this position representing us at the CSD people up there. And I think that's a consideration that you need to weigh into a little bit. If you get somebody up there and they're not reelected, then you have to go through this process again.
Thank you. Any other speakers? Seeing none, I'll close public comment, bring it back to the board for discussion.
If we don't have anyone, I think this says it's due May 23rd. I would be in favor of coming back to this next time if we can, unless there's some revelation that I'm missing.
Well, can I just speak to
go
this
ahead.
Whole
yes,
process?
Please. Yes.
I'm trying.
Well, first of all, do we have to nominate?
No, and I think what we and I'm speaking as the president of the county chapter of CSDA, which is a subset of the state organization. The way this has normally been handled is these things go to each community service district in the region, okay? And that if a CSD wanted to nominate one of their members for this board, they would do so. But we would not nominate members of another CSD. So unless somebody on this board wanted to volunteer to be nominated, I would suggest that we just decline to nominate.
Right.
That's how it's been. I mean, we've had this happen before,
right,
where people from a district have nominated somebody from another district, and they just didn't want to do it. So the idea is you got to bring somebody from your own district.
Right. And so for transparency, we'll see whether somebody from this board would like to.
Well, let me make my Sherman statement right now, then.
This is a region-wide election. I mean, it's something that's not... I'm overcommitted now, so I have no interest in it. Let me just throw my name out of the ring, too.
Out of the ring. All right. So, does...
You mean we can't stick the new guy in here?
No. Do I see any motion of recommendation? Seeing none, then I'd like to close this item. All right. So, with that, future items for the agenda. Do we have any recommendations from the board?
Well, Craig, I would like to have for future items your consideration of the item agendas that the Financial Advisory Committee recommended be assigned to them. So I'd like for you at our next meeting or some subsequent meeting to come back and decide which one of those tasks you want to assign them with.
Okay, so you want that
Rob and Ron are.
It is going to depend on them.
So, yeah. I mean, if they're ready to go, I think it's a great idea, but if they're not, then it could be deferred.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not dumping on Rob, but they're the two that are the drivers
right
now.
But just maybe leave a little spot.
Yeah, so I kind of think that'll either happen next month or the month after that, then. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and I also think we're going to be going with the special fire tax CPI recommendation. That's up. So
as I understand it, that's almost procedural, meaning that the CPI is given and then...
Well, no, it's not procedural. We have to make a recommendation on what level of CPI increase or decrease.
Well, we declined to take it.
We took it last
year. No, that was quite opposite. We almost agreed to don't.
No, I think we took it last year,
but there was
a period of time when we didn't.
Yeah, right. And we kind of went, whoops.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Do you think, all right, I'll get together with general manager and the chief and see if it's appropriate next meeting.
We're going to have it at the ESAC on the 15th.
Oh, are you? Okay. Well, then report to me.
We'll have it at the next FAC, so it would be ready to go.
That sounds great. Yeah. Okay. Any other? With that, board comments, Dr. Storm.
I don't want to rain on the parade of the debate tomorrow, but I did want to add that there, before we come back for another meeting, there is another District 2 debate given by the Latino Outreach Council. It'll be April 30th. I've been told that it's going to be at the Vets Hall in Morro Bay, but then subsequently I've seen that it might be TBA. So that's what I have right now.
To be announced.
It's not a new beer letter.
Yes, Director Mueller.
Okay. I want to thank staff for the efforts that they've put into this to this accounting system and what we're doing, and I think that the effort that's being put into this is going to pay off in the long run. So, thank you for all the long hours and everything.
Thank you, Director Olhusky. Anything?
Yeah, a couple things. I just want to remind everybody about the state of the Bay. I will try to make it clearer this time. MBNEP.org. But normally I don't talk at the end of the meetings, but today I'm just going to talk about a couple things because I think that, you know, We had a transition period where we went through a new general manager. We went through a new accountant. We've changed our financial system, or pardon me, our financial software. So it has been a period of change, and I think that, you know, we're getting through it and we're on the other side of it. Clearly, we're not where we need to be ultimately, but like I said, it's a process where we're getting through it. We've restarted our financial advisory committee, and we look forward to getting the community involved in the financial decision. So, you know, it was a tough stretch of time. I just think, you know, and that's what I think everybody needs to acknowledge. And, you know, I appreciate the comments, et cetera, as long as they're made productively. I really don't like personal attacks, and I think that that's problematic. So, but I look forward to moving on in the future. And I know I've said this multiple times, but, you know, the bankruptcy was a big distraction. And whether people realize it or not, the amount of effort it took to figure out the amounts owed to each one of the creditors, get the checks cut, you know, get all that done was a significant amount of time. I know how much they spent because I was involved as, you know, the director that worked on the bankruptcy. So I think that, you know, that was a very, very complicated and sophisticated issue that piled on top of all those other items. So since we got the bankruptcy order now saying that we're done with it, so I just see us as moving forward from this point forward. And I'm not going to deny that it's been a rough stretch of time, but I think, you know, now we're moving forward. So I think we just need to close the door and look to the future rather than look to the past. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Wright.
Well, I want to follow up on the last two comments also in regards to, you know, appreciating the staff's time and slogging through this quagmire they found themselves in.
Which is April 17th, so 18th and 19th. So you might see, you will see a big, huge white tent on the Los Osos Middle School field. And so, again, that's your church community, and they're inviting anybody. There's going to be a speaker, Josh McDonald, there. And so if you have questions about the church or just curious about it, again, the night's 7 o'clock, Los Osos Middle School field, you'll see a big, huge white tent, right? No, it's not the circus. Thursday before Easter, Thursday, April 17th, 17th, 18th, and 19th. So it's free, and that's your part of the community. Just to let you know in case you see it and you wonder what's going on. So with that, I'd like to thank everybody, and good night.